This year, experience the NHL playoffs your way. Want to watch a single? Do or die Game 7, a full week of heavy-hitting back-and-forth series. Then check out Sling's 1, 3, and 7-day passes. Watch the Chase for the Cup on ESPN and TNT, starting as low as $4.99. No long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live hockey at home or when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more. Catch the NBA playoffs on Sling TV, the most flexible live TV streaming service, putting consumers in control to watch games their way with flexible subscriptions. Want to catch one game or a full series on ESPN? Grab a 1, 3, or 7-day pass. If you want to catch as many games as possible, get a monthly subscription with our ABC, NBC, and ESPN combo package. Either way, Sling lets you watch the playoffs your way with no long-term contracts. Learn more at sling.com.
Welcome along, everybody. It is the penultimate La Liga weekly of the actual season. I mean, we carry on through the summer because we've got nothing better to do, but this is the last but one set of games that we're going to talk about. I would love to say that we're fully prepared and on top of everything, but we're not.
I've just got back.
I've got pages of the stuff, honestly, yeah. of what happens if this happens, what happens if that happens. Basically, the relegation battle, as promised, we said it was going down to the wire. Weeks and weeks ago, we said this can't be done before the final day. And sure enough, it is not done before the final day. We don't even know who's playing who. Well, we know who's playing who next week, but we don't know when. We can work out who's left to play which other teams. But there could be fixtures moved around yet, because obviously some teams are now out of it, out of the relegation issue altogether. And many are still very much in it. And a couple of mid-table. It's very, very confusing. I mean, Valencia yesterday went from they're working out if they're safe, then 2 minutes later they're in Europe. Not quite, but they could qualify for Europe this last weekend. There is so much to play for. Perhaps most importantly, Terry, we have a sandwich update from Henry. Maybe we should do that first.
Yes.
Before we get on to
that. I'm really interested in that, because you do see them, not only at Osasuna, you see the guy at Athletic Club, he's got a full-up buffet in front of him, hasn't he? Preparing the bocadillos. And I always wonder, but I mean, I've not tried it for a long time. I don't think I've ever tried it to take a packed lunch into a Premier League game. I'm pretty sure I haven't tried it, because you're not going to get away with it. Your bag searched. You've got a bocadillo and a baguette in there with chorizo and ham on. You're not getting in.
I think you
the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium with
that, that was you being bocadillo. Culturally oppressed if you turned up and said, "Listen, I'm a regular traveller. I'm a citizen of the EU, as you are, Terry." And then you could say, "I'm taking my sandwich in. I'm not buying you 12 quid burger."
Yeah, exactly. I don't think there's any chance you'd get away with that.
Right. There's a challenge for somebody. Try and get into a club that's tough enough this weekend. Try and get a Premier League ticket and get yourself in.
There's a bocadillo.
Okay, 99%, says Henry, take them into the ground themselves. You buy a baguette and fill it with tortilla and ham on, and you can buy a very limited selection in the ground, yeah. But you won't get the foil. That's the crucial problem.
The silver foil.
And he's an Osasuna fan, if you've been following Henry's occasional travels to Spain, but he was considering going to Getafe, but with the fixture times being subject to change, I can't put my trust into booking anything.
Exactly.
Which, of course, is a problem, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I mean, it really is, and it's not easier for the people that actually live in Pamplona. It's not even easier for them, let alone someone booking flights and travel. It is what it is. I mean, it's... The public in Spain seem to suffer it.
Mm. Yeah,
it's because I don't think that would happen in England. I don't think we would accept next week's games, and we don't know when they're being played yet.
Yeah, what it does do though is suppress travel and away fans. And we in England we have an away fan culture. There's a bit of it in Spain, but it's never going to build until you're absolutely certain when the games are.
Yeah, I was even surprised yesterday. I was on the Sevilla Real Madrid game, and I know where the top tier in the corner is the away fans. It was empty of Real Madrid fans. Mm. Now, I know the club's going through a bit of trouble and strife at the moment, but there'd be thousands of Real Madrid fans in Andalusia.
Yeah.
But no one went.
Yes.
So how that's the one thing that can improve the culture of away travel. Tickets are cheaper now for the away fans. That was an initiative from La Liga, which has helped the cause. But the next one now would be to put a date on the game earlier so people can actually plan a journey.
Tell people when they are.
I mean, I can't imagine the Premier League supporters or Championship or anyone with less than a week to go, 6 days to go till the last game of the season, and you're...
Oh, people in England are furious. They announce them like in blocks, and then people in England get furious about having to, you know, oh well, that game's at 12:30 and it's a long journey and stuff like this, which I get. But what you're constantly doing is trading off telly and travel and with a bit of, in my view, a little bit of, can the administrators be bothered to do a lot of hard work and work it out? And sometimes the answer to that is no. And the last bit, and that's the bit where you could improve. But there's always a bit, because, for example, in the Premier League, all the games next weekend, like final round, they're all at the same time, and they've been booked in the final time for ages, kickoff time for ages.
And they won't change.
Yeah, and they won't change.
They won't change.
And that what that means is that there are some mid-table, there are some nothing games.
Yeah.
I mean, not many nothing games, because half the Premier League seems to qualify for Europe now. But what that can mean is that you could just lose a game, whereas, for example, the battle for third in La Liga can be standalone. They might get away. There's another game that you were saying. There's another couple. For the mid-table game, isn't there, that you're thinking might get moved?
Espanyol, Real Sociedad.
Yeah. So, for example, you might be able to get those games away somewhere else and televised instead of lost.
Alaves Rayo might be another one, that because Rayo is safe. Alaves are safe. Rayo have got the European Conference League final. That would be a blessing to Rayo if they could play that Friday night.
Yeah.
Standalone game. But give them extra time to prepare for the cup final.
The problem with that, though, is that Rayo still got a chance of qualifying via their league position.
Yeah.
So, in a sense, you'd have to put all of the... You have to do a little European grouping together.
Bracket.
Yeah. Because the top five, we know Barcelona, Real Madrid will finish in that order. Villarreal, Atletico, have literally got the same points, same goal difference at the moment, haven't we? And, you know, so that's a little bit of a finale. And we know that Betis will finish where they are in fifth in the Champions League. And then, so Celta Vigo are in the one Europa League place left available. And they are 3 points ahead of Getafe. And then Getafe is seventh. That's the Conference League place. And then Rayo, so Getafe 48, Rayo 47, Valencia 46.
Mm.
And then after that is Real Sociedad. Real Sociedad are in, though, because they won the Copa del Rey.
Europa League.
Yes. So they're into the Europa League. Yes.
That's cleared that up.
Yeah. Yeah, that's reasonable.
No, it has. Yeah. And the part you said about Valencia's topsy-turvy game yesterday were just about sums it up, doesn't it? 1 minute you're losing, you're down to 10 men. And you're thinking, oh God, 43 points. If we end up getting beaten, this would be just a, you know, we won't be safe. Although they would have.
Yeah, turns out 43 would have been fine. Yeah.
Yeah. But then they win the game.
Yeah.
And they're 2 points off the European Conference League.
Yes. Right, another thing that occurred to me, we'll get to who's going down in a minute. Another thing that occurred to me, you know, when they do the multi goal thing, Terry, and they're, is when they keep like, cutting to a referee blowing their full time whistle. All of them, they've got their finger in the ear talking to the VAR before they blow the full-time whistle.
That's a new thing now.
Yeah.
It's happening at half-time as well. I've seen some of them. And I'm thinking, well, what were they looking at? There's nothing to look at. Nothing happened. Aren't they getting permission to blow up for half-time or the end of the match? And I've seen it I've seen that quite a bit lately.
Yeah.
Where you think,
it's like the VAR, they're constantly looking for things to give.
Yeah.
That's the impression, isn't it? They've got this like backlog of stuff. That
and it's kind of like a false ending. It's like an anti-climax in the end when the referee does that.
Yeah.
And then just goes, it's finished.
And
all the
and
players
everyone
are looking around.
Everyone stares at him. He's got his finger in his ear. And then you think, well, it's full time and I can't think anything's happened. new way to end the football. I can't wait. This is, you know, I've been...
Are we all clear? It's like a TV director, isn't it?
Yeah.
Are we all clear? Oh, okay. Yeah, cut. Finished.
Just hold your positions, everyone. Just hold your positions. I can't, honestly, the World Cup final will be sorted by, will be done by VAR. There'll be a big, massive VAR decision to sort the World Cup final. And we'll all be standing there waiting for it. Honestly, it's, I know we moan about VAR. How many? 38 weekends on this podcast. But it seems to be getting worse.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's get on to all the red cards that we've got to discuss in La Liga this week. Right, relegation. Oviedo are down. That much we know. Mallorca are in 19th position and up the creek, but with the tiniest of paddles. So they do play Oviedo last day. But they're 3 points behind the teams they need to catch. And two of those teams play each other. But it's not done, but they're almost done. So they need to beat Oviedo, move on to 42, and then hope that enough teams drop or stay on 42 that they're in a mini-league with the teams that they can win a mini-league against.
Exactly.
Yes. Girona are in the relegation zone, so therefore in trouble. The saving grace for them is that they are below... they're below Elche, who they play this weekend. And so a win and Girona are up. Simple as that.
Yeah.
Anything less than a win and they're not up. They're
Elche on 42 points, Girona on 40.
Yeah. So again, Elche needs to avoid defeat against Girona and they stay up because that would put them too far in front of Mallorca. And it would obviously leave them above Girona. So that's it. Elche just need a point. Osasuna need a single point. They play Getafe. If they lose, they can be dragged down if other teams below them maximise their final day points, it says here. It's a complicated picture with their head-to-heads, isn't it? And Levante can still go down as well. And they play, because they played Betis last day. One of the things I looked up gave me some odds. or gave me percentages, and Levante's percentage of going down is really small, but still existent. I might find it, but I can't find it right at the moment.
Osasuna had a surprising one. We've not mentioned them until now, if I'm being honest.
Yeah,
I've always thought, the mid table, they're looking towards Europe. Oh, they're on a bit of a bad run, 4-game straight defeats. At the wrong time of the season, I've seen them plummet, and suddenly you are looking and thinking, my goodness, that's a... Suddenly we're talking about them in the relegation battle with the last game of the season. I haven't thought this weekend they'd be okay. They've got Espanyol.
Yeah.
They lose that, so that's their fourth straight win. It's the worst time to have a slump, isn't it? Mallorca are suffering as well. Their results haven't been good. Espanyol suddenly won back-to-back games, and everything in the garden is rosy again. It's exciting, complicated, but it's exciting to watch. And Levante have been incredible what they've done.
Yeah,
I would speak about Sevilla and Valencia in a little bit as well when we come to their games. But no, it's.
I did an AI search, Terry, and it's rubbish. I mean, some of it's good. I've got some of this stuff from it, like some of the detail. But they've got Levante, 47% chance of relegation. That's not right. That's miles out, isn't it? They can't be almost 50-50 to go down, Levante.
Yeah.
Surely, because they're well out of it at the moment. Then,
they've won three on the trot, so they're going into the game in good form and confident mood. The manager's done an incredible job since taking over. Carlos Cespe has emerged from nowhere to be a player that's probably going to keep them up.
Yeah.
And probably going to be too good to be there next season. That's the problem there. But I presume that they'll get decent money for him. No, it's just so many stories going around. I mean, it's one that we're probably not going to spend too much time talking about Real Madrid and Barcelona for a change.
Yeah. So let's get into some of the games that happened then. Mm. So Levante beat Mallorca 2-0. It's always going to be a huge game, this one. Defensive howler allowed Espi to score the first goal. And the second one was a corner, wasn't it, I think? They miss a penalty at the end. And there's a sending off incident that is literally laughable because the commentator... Love. He literally laughs when Mayuka goes down, and then he sort of has to backtrack a bit when he realises that the officials are taking it seriously. It's a red card,
and both get sent off. Yeah. And I think it was confusing. There was a second yellow for Mayuka, I think, which led to his red, and there was a crowd scene around the halfway line and the monitor. It was nothing. It really wasn't. I don't think it was a penalty. That wasn't given. It was a challenge from Mojica. I'm not sure the challenge was from Mojica. But he got involved. It's a challenge on Brugge, whatever his name is. I've worked with different commentaries. And some of those names get really confusing because there's different versions of it. That there isn't, obviously, but people use different versions of it. So Brugge. We'll go with Brugge. He claims he gets fouled. He does the usual, which is par standard now. Stays down injured in the hope that it encourages VAR to have a look. It wasn't a penalty. But he's on the floor, and in the act of being on the floor trying to attract the attention of VAR, Mojica runs across, abuses him, gives him some stick for staying down, and pulls his ear, doesn't he? And the Levante player flicks his arm out. I think it does catch Mojica in the face, but it's not a punch. It's a flick of the hand.
He throws himself on the floor.
And he throws himself spectacularly on the floor, holding his face as if he's been...
Catch the NBA playoffs on Sling TV, the most flexible live TV streaming service, putting consumers in control to watch games their way with flexible subscriptions. Want to catch one game or a full series on ESPN? Grab a 1, 3, or 7-day pass. If you want to catch as many games as possible, get a monthly subscription with our ABC, NBC, and ESPN combo package. Either way, Sling lets you watch the playoffs your way with no long-term contracts. Learn more at sling.com. This year, experience the NHL playoffs your way. Want to watch a single? Do or die Game 7, a full week of heavy-hitting back-and-forth series. Then check out Sling's 1, 3, and 7-day passes. Watch the Chase for the Cup on ESPN and TNT, starting as low as $4.99. No long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live hockey at home or when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more.
Punch full on in the face, and the referees should just laughed at both of them.
Yeah,
that would have been more suitable. It took ages to sort out. Sevilla had finished their game, they were waiting and waiting and waiting. It was 10 minutes added on, all because of this stupid affair at the end of the game between two childish footballers who should know better. And they should have just been admonished and told, just get up, get on with it, don't be stupid. They're both going to miss the game next week unless there's an appeal process. But the result was sensational for Levante. Mallorca, I look at Mallorca all season long and think, I don't think they've got a massive squad, but they're starting 11, 15, core of 15, 16 players. There's no way they should be relegated. Mm-hmm. They've got a striker that's got the second top scorer in La Liga. And you're kind of waiting for all season to think this is going to change for the better. They had a slow start. They probably kept the manager too long. They made the change. It seemed as if it was going to work. But they got 4 points in their last five games, and they're one of those teams that's had an unfortunate slump at this time of the season. And the Levante were better than them.
Yeah,
you could look played like a team that deserved to be relegated.
Yeah, yeah. And Levante's run what, 3 straight wins.
Yeah,
I mean, it goes back longer than that, though, doesn't it? You take it back. Well, mid-April, they've won 1, 2, 3, 5 out of 7.
I remember doing a game for them around that time and looking, and we spoke about it on the podcast that their fixtures were kind. Mm. They were playing teams in and around them. And it was, I think they must have played at Barcelona or Real Madrid, and they rested loads of players. And I was critical of them thinking, and then when you look at the fixture that was coming up the next game and the game after that, they were all against teams that were in and around them, which is great if you get a kind fixture list, but you've still got to beat those teams.
Yeah.
And you need that confidence and belief. And Luis Castro's incredible job what he's done there. Yeah. And do you know what? I don't want to see anybody get relegated. It's sad to see Oviedo go down after 24, 25 years, coming back up and going back down again. But it's Levante kind of, I like where the club's going. You know, nice stadium now, good fan base. So it's one of those teams that came up that you think might go back straight back down again, but it looks like they're going to. Looks like they might survive.
Someone's got to go down, Terry. Stop being a snowflake. right. Who else then? So let's do that Real Sociedad 3, Valencia 4 game. We've referenced it a couple of times, haven't we? So they,
yeah.
I mean, as it turned out, they wouldn't have gone down because of how it all worked. But they went down. What was the score? They were losing and they were down to 10.
Yeah, they were 1-0 down.
Yeah.
And then 2-1. And then Real Sociedad come back to 3-2.
Yeah.
Then there was a sending off. Eric Chomet sent off. So they're losing 3-2. 20 minutes to go. And they end up winning 4-3. Two good goals from Guido Rodriguez with a smashing header and Harry Guerra with his second goal. So that was a complete turnaround for Valencia. And I'm going to bracket Valencia and Sevilla in the great same group here and be critical of the club, not the players, not the manager. Neither have got a squad of players that should be challenging for Europe. They are limited in what they've got. Valencia, I think, are slightly better than Sevilla. But it's been a story, isn't it, all season. They've been the two big clubs that have been in relegation issues up until the penultimate weekend of the season. I didn't want either of those to go down. La Liga needs those two clubs to be challenging at the top. Now, Sevilla are getting new owners. It appears apparent now. And I just want Valencia to get back to the glory days, you know, them challenging. So that when Barcelona and Real Madrid are playing Valencia, it's a genuine challenge, or Atletico Madrid. Whereas at the moment, in the last couple of years, you're looking, thinking, or maybe longer with Valencia, Barcelona, Real Madrid, they'll beat them, you know. And actually, Valencia have been absolutely diabolical against the big teams. So we need that back. So I've never wanted them to go down, Valencia and Sevilla. But I'm irritated by the fact that clubs haven't been run properly.
Yeah,
and they're a shadow of what they should be. And hopefully with Sevilla, that's going to change. I don't see how Valencia's going to improve.
Yeah, so it'd be interesting with the pace of change. I mean, maybe we'll have a discussion about this over the summer with the Patreons about Sevilla. As you know, how quickly it can change.
You keep the manager.
Yeah, I think.
I would. Yeah, to me, it appears a good fit. He's passionate, enthusiastic. I think he's a more than decent coach in La Liga. He's done a couple of good jobs elsewhere. He's managed sufficient number of games. It's preferable, I think, to bring in someone that hasn't worked in the league before. And I think he's a good fit with the fan base. And the job he's done has been pretty good so in recent weeks. So, I think. But we don't know, do we? Sergio Ramos might have someone in. And we're talking Sergio Ramos. I don't know what his role is going to be. I hope he's really active. I hope we see him at all the games and he's, in effect, I hope he's president, to be honest.
Yeah.
And really involved in the decision-making at a football club. But we'll wait and see. But he will be involved somehow. And, you know, it's a new beginning for Sevilla.
Yeah. So the other, that all sort of pure relegation game that we need to talk about is Osasuna 1, Espanyol 2. So Espanyol, who stunk the place out between Christmas and the middle of May, have won two games in a row. Yeah. So,
and isn't it amazing how football works? It can be a team that has forgotten how to win a game of football. And they were in pretty much all those games that they didn't win. They weren't getting thrashed. They were nearly there on so many occasions. They picked up some draws. And then you get a win and then Fodic back it up with another win. And you're thinking, what was everyone worried about? And it's like a goal scorer, isn't it? A goal scorer can go months without scoring a goal and gets a fluky goal. And then 10 minutes later, he gets another one. And next week gets another one and everything goes back to normal. The mentality of teams and individuals regarding confidence is baffling sometimes how it can be that simple. One win and then you think you're going to start winning games again.
Yeah, I mean, Espanyol won 2-1 at Osasuna.
Osasuna.
And it was, so Osasuna 52 touches in the box to 9. They were ahead on the XG. Everything said Osasuna. I mean, I didn't watch the 90 minutes, obviously, because they're all at the same time. But everything says Osasuna sort of peppered them, but lost the game and now go into the last round.
With zero confidence and belief.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the thing there. Also, sooner going into that, they're feeling just like Espanyol felt since Christmas. The four straight, lost the last four. They'll have a case to make, and they have, if I can remember rightly, that they could have won a couple of those. should have won a couple of those, were lucky not to win a couple of those, and then suddenly you lose in that manner against Espanyol when you clearly should have won. Then they go into the next game and they're thinking, oh God, how's this going to be? And it's a tough game, a tough away. Both teams needs a draw for the outcome, though, don't they? And I've seen people saying that is going to be an absolutely diabolical game of football. Hatafe at home playing for a draw. I don't think they will, though. I mean, it's hard to play in the style that Hatafe do, where it's direct football as opposed to possession-based football, but not going anywhere and keeping it tight at the back. They're not going to be able to change from going direct hitting the front. And therefore, I can't see Hatafe sitting back. They're just good defensively, but they don't score a lot of goals.
But I don't think that works anyway, does it? Because Rayo could overtake Hatafe.
Yeah, I did see that Hatafe just needed a draw. So, yeah, 49. Yeah, Rayo could. Yeah.
And I think it's all, it's because I think I'm right in this. If you don't get an extra Conference League place if Rayo win the Conference League, they just get upgraded. Or they would themselves play in the Europa League, but I don't think they create an extra place. That's my reading of it. Complicated. So where were we? That's it.
Where
Right.
were
Farewell to players is the other thing I want to say to you. So confusing, Terry. Kike Garcia scores in this game. Now, I don't know if he's well, you never know with him. I thought he was finished.
5 years ago?
But he keeps coming back every season,
And
doesn't he?
every time you see him score now, you think, oh God, he did play for them. He's played so many clubs that whenever he scores a goal now, he's not allowed to celebrate. He's played for so many teams now, or it appears that way. You think, why is he not so? Oh God, yeah, he played for them as well. He played for them. He's running yesterday. It's a big goal when he scored, and straight away he's apologising. You think, oh God, yeah, he was at Osasun. Yeah, it's like,
20 years ago.
yeah.
So he's one of many. Well, I mean, there are probably bigger names than Kike Garcia, but so there's many farewells to be said potentially with him as well. Also, so Oviedo nil, Alaves won. That clears up Alaves. So again, a
Yeah.
team that's finished the season well. Tony Martinez, 13th goal.
I know, exactly. And Lucas Boyer's double figures as well. Who's I haven't found out whether he was involved yesterday. I think they were hoping he was going to be fit. Don't think he was. They're hoping he was going to be fit for the last game, but he's not needed now. So yeah, they've and Kike Sanchez Flores, that was a weird one. Not weird, but it was different in the fact that Eduardo who left and went Caudet. He left and went to River Plate. Couldn't turn the offer down. Club accepted that. They had to make a change. They didn't sack him. They probably wasn't going to sack him. And then they found the ideal manager in Kike Sanchez Flores. The ideal manager because he likes the style of play that suits the players that Alaves have got. Alaves have played with two up front all season. And since Kike Sanchez Flores came to England and he turned into a manager and a coach that likes to play two up front. And so when he's been back in Spain since his spells in English football, he's always tried to play two up front. That's what Alaves were doing. So credit to the whoever made that choice. That otherwise you could have got a manager in that says, "No, we're going to play 4-2-3-1. I'm going to play either Lucas Boyer or Tony Martinez. Never Mariano Diaz." And he's still there. He was on the bench the other night and. You're doing the game against Barcelona, and you're thinking it was another striker, but they put a young striker on, and Mariano Diaz was still on the bench. So Alaves, I expected them to be safe, but you just never know, did you? You could have, I think, Osasuna are better than Alaves, but suddenly Osasuna losing games all over the place. But Alaves have, the decent result at Oviedo, the big win was against Barcelona. They're good at home. Need to improve away, but no, I've liked watching Alaves this season.
So Boyer got on the last bit, a few minutes at the end. Mariano Diaz he played 6 minutes on the 8th of March. There we are. Before that, it was the Copa del Rey. I mean, that man has earned a lot.
He's got another year on his contract.
His hourly rate as a footballer is up there, isn't it, Mariano Diaz?
He's got another year, John, on his contract.
Good, good. Well, that'll be another three or four games he'll play.
20 minutes. It's bonkers.
Right, let's do more. So right, yes. So this is right in the farewell. So that's Santi Cazorla, gone from the Oviedo.
Is he retiring?
Well, from La Liga, I guess, isn't it? Because he's not going to sign for another La Liga club.
Well, do you know what? I hope he does retire now. Because his job, his aim was to get Oviedo promoted, which he did. Helped them achieve. Then he had another season. For him to go back now and get them promoted again and come back to La Liga again, he'd be 43, 44. So it's unlikely that he's going to continue. I mean, he plays there for the minimum wage, doesn't he? And he got them up and was hoping to help them keep in the division. I'd love to have seen him play more this season. Unfortunately, at the age of 41, with the injury that he had, and he was ideal against Real Madrid because that was like a testimonial match, and he came and he stroked the ball about, knocked the ball about, and you suddenly it was so clear, obvious he can play still if he's got the time on the ball. And against Real Madrid, he did. But no, he's been an astonishing. He got a tremendous ovation at the Bernabeu as well.
Yeah, he does, doesn't he? Yeah,
he's good, popular that, personality. Yeah. He's been really enjoyable to watch. Loved watching him play. But probably best now to call it a day.
Yes. Right, so that takes us on to another relegation game and another farewell. Atletico beat Girona by a goal to nil, which is, it's not just Griezmann off, is it? There's more to it than that. But we do also, in fact, we can talk about Griezmann at some other point, can't we? But it's the last home game.
Simeone said he's staying.
Right. Okay, yes. Yeah.
He's come out and said he's staying. They'll only make that change if he decides it. And he's deciding. Do you know what? I don't blame him either. It's not been a great season for them. They have underachieved. There can be an element of, there's been a lot of change in the last couple of years. Perhaps it needs a settling down period as opposed to load of new signings again next summer and idiots like me saying, look at all the new players at Atleti, but they're going to win the league this year. Please don't let me predict them next season. And it all going pear-shaped. But I look at Simeone, I think, why would he want to walk away? He's built this club. Look what he's built it up from. And there must be, the human nature of him must be, I don't want somebody else.
This year, experience the NHL playoffs your way. Want to watch a single? Do or die Game 7, a full week of heavy-hitting back-and-forth series. Then check out Sling's 1-3 and 7-day passes. Watch the Chase for the Cup on ESPN and TNT, starting as low as $4.99. No long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live hockey at home or when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
To come and take this over after what I've built here and achieved here. So, no, I'm not ready to walk away and leave it. And he must still see the potential there with the few changes that they can make. So I don't blame him for staying on, to be honest. But they have to do better.
Okay, Michel, he should have gone 2 years ago or something from Girona.
Yeah, I mean, he can be cynical. He should have gone the minute they finished in the position where they qualify for the Champions League.
Yeah.
But the temptation to stay on for the Champions League campaign was his undoing.
Yeah.
And they lost players. They've suddenly turned their squad around into an ageing squad for veteran players that...
It would be good to have a look at what... Yeah, because we haven't discussed them enough, probably, Girona, especially if
they go down, it will be... Because it's a big story. I mean, it was a big story when they qualified for the Champions League and they were in the title race for three quarters of that season.
Yeah.
A huge story. And now it would be a bigger story if they do get relegated. And we look then and they go, well, they lost that player and they sold that player and they've made some money. They link up with Manchester City as part of City Group. They've had loan players, but then they've ended up with Lamar and Witzel and Daley Blind still playing every game and David Lopez is still there and they try to sort the goalkeeper position out. and that went pear shaped when Ter Stegen went there and got injured straight away. So it's definitely deteriorated this season to the extent where they're one of the teams now where I'm thinking, if, and I don't dislike Girona, but I'm looking at them now, I'm thinking, who would I not miss? And that 1 year is the only reason you think that it might be a good idea they stay up. I look at the stadium and look at the fan base and everything else, and there's the link up with the City Group. I personally, I don't think it'd be a massive miss if, to me, if Girona went down.
Good. That's more what I want to hear, Terry. More of the hard man of Spanish.
And there was, a little bit of me saying the Getafe during the season, and then you're looking at teams and thinking, who wouldn't I miss? Part of me would miss Getafe, but let's try and get that stadium built. They're trying, their fan base is growing. Try and get some more younger players into the. I want to see a club moving in the right direction. Like when I said about Levante, Osasuna have done it in recent years as well. So the teams that are having a go in terms of the infrastructure, I want to see stay in La Liga. Someone like Girona, who I don't know what they are.
Yeah,
I mean, it was.
It was a freakish season when they were in the title race and ended up qualifying for the Champions League. And if you'd miss that season out, if you just jump straight to now, that Girona could go down. You think, that's perfectly straight.
Yeah, they've done it before. Up and down. An achievement for them to be in the top division when they first come up, wasn't it?
And I'm seeing Mitchell linked with Ajax. I think, go. Grab it while you can.
Yeah, and they're having troubled times as well, though, aren't they? But HC style of football, I guess, would appeal to the Dutch and to Ajax.
Yeah, right. Okay, so that's that done. We'll talk about Griezmann another time. Elche got a 1-0 win against Getafe. Victor Chust with the goal. It's one of the Reds, this one, isn't it, Gené? So it's a proper blow for Getafe, that, isn't it? That, you know, the...
It's an early sending off as well. It was a reckless tackle from him.
Yeah.
I mean, it was 38 minutes and he's never going to get there, but he launches in. It could have been one of those where you do a trip, but he went in aggressively. Miles are too late. It was an obvious sending off. It does let his teammates down. Fantastic goal from Victor Chust. Brilliant strike. And Elche have still got it all to do. I mean, it was a must-win game for them. They've only won one game away all season, and their last game is away at Girona. That's the big one.
6-pointer, isn't it?
Yeah. So that's a difficult one to call, actually. Girona have slumped lately.
Yeah.
Not playing well. It's a difficult one to call whether Elche can get a point now.
Yes. And you don't know what you're commentating, do you, at the moment?
No, don't even know if I am commentating.
No, that's true. Yeah.
And I don't know if they need me next weekend.
We unearthed some new talent last weekend, Terry, so you never know. Rayo Vallecano got a 2-0 win against Villarreal. So they've got from Rayo, a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about a relegation battle.
Yeah.
They could now qualify via their league position, let alone
this is bizarre in the fact they haven't had a striker all season, and then suddenly they've found two that have been there all season, and both scoring, Cameo and Alamao, were written off. They were never playing, and you were seeing Jorge de Frutos, who was a wide player playing up front, and he did well. He's in double figures, been called up to the Spain squad, but they're relying on him every game. And I asked people what's happened to Camelo and Cameo, and why is Alan Mountain that'll get a game? Oh, he's just good at knocking people over, and that's what he does. He's big, strong, aggressive. And Sunday, they've been given opportunities, and I think Alan Mountain will start the European Conference final, and Kameo coming off the bench has been fabulous. His potential has been there, hasn't he? Except that's coming through. He went to Real on loan. They kept him. He scored goals for the Olympic team for Spain that won the Olympics. And he just kind of went missing. I'm not a fan of that 12-foot-long ponytail on the back of his head. I've got to be honest, the plait. Not convinced it's real. I mean, it's a lifetime growth. Have you seen it?
I don't have any details about it. I can't help you.
Yeah, it annoys me. I just think because I was a bit of a prankster, that would have come off when he was been asleep on the back of the coach. That would have been trimmed.
So a couple more games. We're doing it in reverse order from normal. This is good. All the Barca and Real Madrid fans have had to hang around. So let's do the other missing game, as it were. Athletic 1, Celta Vigo 1. So Valverde, in terms of all the farewells, he's managed more Athletic games than any other coach ever.
Three spells. And he's the time's right for change.
Terzic
coming in is going to be interesting. It was the time is right, not just to get rid of Valverde, but for him to, if he's going to move on as well. You can accuse that of being a glass ceiling at Athletic Club.
There is.
Yeah,
it's amazing what they do. It's amazing how high that glass ceiling is.
Yeah,
really,
exactly.
But yeah, after a while, you do think you need to move on. I mean, the most exhilarating Athletic spell I thought was the Bielsa one, but by the end of the second season, the wheels were virtually off. And he's, he looks tired, doesn't he, Valverde?
Yeah.
So,
I hope we see him somewhere else as well.
That was my question. How, I think he's been historically underrated as a coach.
Totally.
Valverde.
Yeah.
So what level, who could you see, what would you do if you were his agent? Where would you be trying to get him in?
Yeah, he's a big manager.
Yeah.
He is a big-time manager. I mean, he's managed Barcelona, so Real Madrid's out of the question. But he's capable of managing Real Madrid.
Yeah.
But that won't be an option.
Yeah.
You're talking Premier League. I mean, his name's never linked with teams in the Premier League.
The only time I've ever seen him linked was that ludicrous situation where Manchester United were looking for a caretaker manager and they appointed Ralph Rangnick, who then turned up and thought, well, this is a stupid plan. Virtually down tools on his own appointment. But I saw Valverde being linked as a caretaker at Manchester United. I'm thinking, why? He's too good to be a caretaker.
Exactly.
For anyone.
So, anyway. So, and Marcelino falls into that category as well.
Yeah.
Of the trend of Spanish coaches being around Europe, both of them are genuine, bona fide, top quality coaches. But Valverde kind of disappeared after Barcelona for a while, didn't he? It kind of feels like that's what I'm leaning to, that he will disappear for a while.
Yeah. Yeah. But
take
also,
a break, take a rest, recharge.
I don't know how old he is. So I'm going to look that up because there does come, I know Pellegrini would tell you otherwise, but there is ultimately a sort of a limit on how long he can go on for.
Martin O'Neill's come back and turn around that. I think as long as your enthusiasm is still there,
be 62.
You don't have to be out on the training pitch kicking balls at a goalkeeper every day, and there's other people to do that. You can oversee stuff at that age and. Yeah, so there's plenty of time left for him to. I mean, he's managed Barcelona, so it's as big as it gets, probably. So he probably is even looking at the Premier League thinking, I'm desperate for the Chelsea job one day, or Man United, or Spurs, or Liverpool. But he could manage all those.
Yeah.
I don't know what his English is like, but he could manage. He is at a level and experience that he could manage anywhere.
Yeah. I mean, he hasn't had a go at Sevilla. I just know.
Hasn't he?
Got to miss one out. So we'll see. But good luck to Valverde. Celta still in with a chance, of course.
Yeah, Lecue is retiring as well, I think, isn't he? As a one club player. So that was their farewell to a dependable player for Athletic Club from them.
Yeah. I don't think you have to put too much. I get the whole one club thing. There's nothing wrong with having the last couple of years of your career, you go off and play. Like Iniesta went and played in Japan for a couple of seasons.
Yeah.
That's not that.
Xavi did.
Yeah. Yeah.
Didn't Xavi went and played in the Middle East first, didn't he? Before becoming a manager.
So did he go to Qatar and play for. Right. So we literally can't even remember this now. Can we?
Yeah.
So I don't think it ruins your legacy. I mean, I get it that you don't go and you're not going to go and play for.
Well, Sociedad.
Yeah.
That would ruin it.
Xavi played for Al Sadd. Yeah, it was Al Sadd played for. And then he managed them. Yeah.
No one holds that against him, and no one, so it doesn't block the copy, the book of one club player because he didn't leave Barcelona and go and play for Espanyol or something.
Yeah.
But well, officially, you're not a one club player if you go and play for someone else.
Yeah, you don't get invited for your day out at
exactly.
Athletic Club like Jamie Carragher and Matt Letizia got. Slightly overrated. I get it. One country, one club per country. I get. Right, we've got another. We've got a couple of big clubs to discuss. We had a long discussion the other day about Real Madrid. They won, Terry. They won against Sevilla. So there we are. Good result. Everything's fine.
Yeah, against a limited Sevilla. Sevilla have done well lately, but they are limited. Yeah. And I, do you know what? I'll just briefly touch on Real Madrid. The first 10 minutes of a Real Madrid game now really intrigue me. I'm looking at them thinking, are they going to play well today? Because I want to see a Real Madrid team that plays well, that looks like a team and plays good football. And I look at it and I think, yesterday I thought, no, they're not. But they win.
Yeah.
Because they got Vinicius and they got Mbappe and Bellingham and others. And that's exactly what it turned out to be. They didn't control the game. They didn't dominate the game. Sevilla had chances, but they're very limited in terms of the quality. You got Mopay and Acor Adams up front, and at the other end, you got Mbappe and Vinicius. And in a 50-50 game, they'll win. So we desperately, next season, I want to be looking at Real Madrid and thinking, every week, they're playing well. I can see what they're doing. They know what they're doing, but they're not anything like that at the moment. They just rely on having better players than the opposition and someone doing something. And that's what happened yesterday.
Yeah. And it would seem like it's Mourinho. We sort of figured that out some time ago, that he was the only one sort of left to manage them.
It's bizarre though, John, isn't it? I find it in this day and age, all the respect in the world for Jose Mourinho. I've not always liked how he's done things, and he's a top quality manager, but I just feel that there's lots of managers about now that would have been interested in the Real Madrid job. I know it's a poison chalice and people are saying the players have got too much power and it's difficult to go there because if you don't win anything, you're going to be gone. If you don't look like you're going to win anything, you're going to be gone. But I just think that there is a choice of other managers. To go back to Jose Mourinho is, I mean, we're uncertain. This isn't the Jose Mourinho that was on the rampage all over Europe and winning trophies all over the place, was it? This is a different Jose Mourinho. So it's going to bring attention to La Liga. Real Madrid don't need attention brought to them, but it will be if he does get the job. It's going to be a massive story, massive news, and I have no idea how it's going to end up, to be honest.
Yeah. So,
I mean, what's your opinion on him? How's he going to deal with the problems that Xabi Alonso couldn't deal with?
Yeah.
The temporary manager in charge, which has been like the kindergarten, hasn't it? The players have just done their own thing for 6 months and the crowd's turned out.
But
I don't know how it's going to work.
When he does well, it's not the confrontational stuff, is it, early on? I think he's got a charm about him, hasn't he, in the early stages. My thoughts were, when he was good, he wasn't particularly, he was never massively tactically innovative, was he? He was never ahead of the game.
I guess Porto was the start, wasn't it?
Yeah. But
he had to be tactically innovative there because they weren't big guns. They won trophies.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
This year, experience the NHL playoffs your way. Want to watch a single? Do or die Game 7, a full week of heavy-hitting back-and-forth series. Then check out Sling's 1-3 and 7-day passes. Watch the Chase for the Cup on ESPN and TNT, starting as low as $4.99. No long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live hockey at home or when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more.
And that's what got him the other jobs.
But his teams were always really solid. And he persuaded very good players to play solid football.
Yeah, and powerful, big, strong, powerful, solid, well organized, well coached players that believed in his style of football. I don't know how it's going to work with Mbappe and Vinicius,
I
and
guess he's
I can
more.
see Jude Bellingham thriving under him. I think if he
He's
can nail down a position for Jude Bellingham, I could see that. Tchouaméni, Camavinga, players like that, they could fit into his style. It's the two boys up front, isn't it? That's going to be, how can he build a team around those two? I mean, Real Madrid should be the unbelievable counter-attacking team. So maybe that will be the thing he does, you know, let teams come onto us and we let them on the break. As opposed to, but will supporters of Real Madrid accept that?
I mean that sort of they sort of did before. He was popular, wasn't he? He was, you know, and it all went wrong for him at the end. It went wrong for him with a more solid set of players than Vinny and Mbappe. So there is that, and then the question you're looking at is how quickly. It's a fascinating. This is Real Madrid. The magnifying glass on the relationships between the coach and star players will start straight away.
Exactly. Pre-season.
And
We'll
we'll
see
be
all the
looking
usual pictures, the smiles and the greetings and everything. And then,
decoding the press conference
yeah.
that he does from the so from the start. We're looking at those players, and we'll see. So I guess that's the size of the task for Mourinho, isn't it? Is to get the best out of the
It's a similar
star
task
players.
that when he took over, Pep was running everything, wasn't he? He was winning everything. Hansi Flick is domestically. So it's a similar task. So Real Madrid supporters might accept a different style of play that's not as attractive to watch, but it's pragmatic, it's in your face, it's
It allowed him,
antagonizing people.
because
And they won a league.
the 5-0 sort of was the license, wasn't it, that Real
Yeah.
Madrid needed to
Allow
play
him.
in a non-Real Madrid kind of way. So maybe
Yeah.
two seasons without a trophy is they'll feel they've got the license
Yeah.
to play in a non-Real Madrid way. So there we are. So thoughts anyway. Patreons on how will Mourinho run Real Madrid? That's the
Yeah.
question. So what will he do with them? You can't just it does just seem that Florentino Perez, like I said, I joke about it, but I only barely joke that he's only got three knows the names of three managers, and he just rotates between the three of them. Every now and
Oh.
again, someone persuades him to appoint another one, and he thinks better of it 5 minutes
Yeah.
later.
After 5 minutes, why have I done that? I should have had Jose, I should have had Carlo, and I should have had Zinedine Zidane. Yeah.
So, but it would seem, and I genuinely sort of level this allegation at Florentino Perez. I don't think he's got a plan of how Mourinho will coach them. I think he
No.
just thinks of the name.
And the personality, a winner. He is a winner. And he will do whatever it takes to overcome Barcelona next season.
But I don't know if he's got the capacity. I don't, I, you know, we haven't seen much evidence that he's a really sort of free. New ideas are coming from Jose Mourinho, and again, what is
There
it?
won't be
It's
any. There won't be any new. We're not going to see a new version of Jose Mourinho, and that's probably one of the reasons why Florentino Perez has employed him again. If he employs him, it looks like to be the case. He'll want the old version of Jose Mourinho. He does want a new wave Jose Mourinho coaching style. He's appointed him because of what he did in the past.
He's a year older than Valverde, by the way, Mourinho. So there we are talking about
Yeah.
the ages of managers.
Yeah, this is not an ageist thing about Mourinho. It's not. It's just that in recent, the last decade, I'm not sure he's been up to the standard that, and new managers have come around, haven't they? I mean, that Iraola, everyone's talking about Iraola going here, there, and everywhere. Chelsea now got Xabi Alonso. I don't know where Andoni Iraola is going. He would have been up to standard for the Real Madrid job, but he ain't gonna get it. But and he's not even been in the conversation. So, I mean, the job he's done at Rayo and Bournemouth is incredible. Now, people might say, yeah, but it's Rayo Vallecano and Bournemouth. It doesn't, you know, but it's still La Liga team, a Premier League team, and he's achieved. But it's
Bournemouth could be in the Champions League, by
go
the
to
way.
Jose.
It could be leaving in with Bournemouth in the Champions League.
Yeah.
Irola. It's extraordinary. Anyway, we've got a long way without discussing Barcelona. That doesn't normally happen, does it?
No.
They got a 3-1 win against Betis, a little bit with a assisted with a bit of goalkeeping, a bit of dodgy barring, and
and the penalty, the non-penalty given to Betis.
Actually, yes, that's true. The dodgy VAR was that way round, wasn't it? Let's do it. One last. No, it's not the last because the scene's going to pivot on some terrible VAR decision next week. Let's just do the VAR. It's the weirdest penalty that Betis get, isn't it? It doesn't matter in the end, but it's just like, where's the foul?
Yeah, exactly. I'm not sure Isco dives. I just think he trips and falls.
Stumble, sticks his foot in the ground and like trips over. And that's it.
And Gavi does everything he can not to tread on him because an opponent has abruptly fell over in front of him in the penalty box.
Yeah.
There's a light touch from Gavi as Isco has already fell on the floor. And when you saw VAR, you think, well, it's not penalty.
And they do this long offside check about, and you think, but there's no foul. I haven't seen a foul. But anyway, they give a penalty and he scores it. So that's by the by. And then there were mistakes by Betis. Goalkeeping.
Yeah.
Oh, for the free kick.
Yeah.
Where he dances. is he thinking?
That was bizarre. Yeah. I mean, it wasn't a great free kick. Didn't have to be. It just missed the wall and it went in.
And he's dancing.
Yeah, goalkeeping wasn't the great. I forgot to mention Alex Romero at Real Sociedad. He's been chucking them in lately as well. And there's the debate, should John Garcia go to the World Cup and would he leave Alex Romero out? And I'm looking at his form in the second half of the season. Yeah. Real Sociedad won the cup with the Marrero in goal.
Yeah.
And there's a case now for thinking, actually, he looks better at the moment. And Romero's been a good goalkeeper.
Yeah.
But no, it was standard win for Barcelona, wasn't it?
Yeah. So Lewandowski's
last home game.
And he dances behind the wall, doesn't he? And then Rafinha just puts the free kick literally where he was standing.
Yeah.
Half a second earlier before he went running away.
Bizarre.
And then Bellerin gives the ball away, doesn't he? And they score another. So in the like I said, mistake assisted. Cancelo has done I remember we sort of agreed. Yeah, why not? They need a player. He's available on loan. He's an experienced player. It's not a bad signing. Get him in.
He can cover both fullback positions.
Yeah, yeah. But
they needed I referred to him as a body.
Yeah, yeah.
An extra player that they might need. Yeah. And he's turned into be a player they must keep.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So are you keeping... So you're keeping him and you're keeping...
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm sure they can do a deal for... Cancelo, I don't know what his cost is going to be.
Yeah.
He's ahead of Balde, though, isn't he? At left back, for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
And the job he was brought in to be was cover for both of them, but you could make a case he's a better right back and left back than what Koundé and Balde are.
Yeah.
So I'd definitely keep him. And he's become really popular as well. He looks like a much more mature player than the player that was at Barcelona before. So I'll definitely keep him. Rashford, I don't know, if I'm being honest. I can see the merits of keeping him. I can also see Barcelona coming up with another one or two young players that might be able to do the job that Rashford's done for a lot less money and the potential that they become an asset to the club. So Tony Fernandes, for instance, could be in the squad next season. We saw him at the start of the season and kind of disappeared. I'm only guessing that they've got young players because we've seen so many come through in recent years. So could you not get a young player, I mean, to do the job that Rashford's done?
Mm-hmm.
Which is good. He's been helped by the fact that Rafinha's been injured, Lewandowski's been injured, and Lamine Yamal's been injured this season. So him and Ferran Torres have been the mainstays. It's the wages. It's even though they've agreed a fee with United, you kind of feel that they're going to go back and say, no, we're not paying that. They're going to welch on the deal, which so is...
Was it 30 mil? You don't think that's undervaluing a player who's had a good season, top-level England player, etc.?
Yeah, no, I think it'd be good value.
Yeah.
But it's 300 grand a week as well.
Yeah,
and Barcelona haven't got 25, 30 million to spend on a 28-year-old now that's... not a priority. Is he a priority? That's the dilemma, whether I think he's a priority or not, or whether they can get someone else younger. They've been linked with João Pedro, aren't they, at Chelsea?
Okay. He'd cost you a lot of money, wouldn't he? I think.
Yeah. But what I'm saying is Rashford's money might be useful.
Yeah.
If they don't buy Rashford.
Yeah. But then having said that, in case for Rashford, he's had a year there now. So his language will have come along. He's not a risk in the same way that he would have been a year ago.
Well, I think if I was Barcelona, I'd try and get him a loan again.
Yeah.
If I was Barcelona with their money situation, rather than shell out the money, I'd try and keep him on loan again. Yeah. He seems to be happy to do that.
A bit more haggling to be done, you think, about Rashford.
And if they keep him on loan, he pretty much keeps all his wages. Yeah. So at the moment, probably Barcelona are paying some, United are paying some, and that suits everybody.
Yeah.
And that
sort of, but not forever for United, though. And also, new manager, I mean, I haven't seen, presumably Carrick. So...
Yeah,
would he think? No, I'll get him back.
Oh, that's a different. Yeah, that's a different scenario. But I don't see a way back for Rashford United. I could see him going back, but I could see it not lasting long.
Yeah,
I think the fan base have turned against him a bit, but I think Barcelona are going to use that to their advantage. The dilemma then is if someone else goes, no, we'll have him. Yeah. Another big club says we'll have him, which is possible.
In which case, you let him go.
Yeah.
Because he did all right at Villa, didn't he?
He's a good player. He's been good.
Yeah.
It's just the problem. If Barcelona had all the money that they have had in the past, £25 million, definitely.
Yeah.
But I think they can use that £25 million towards something else, and they're going to need a new centre-forward.
He got a good send. It was emotional, wasn't it, for Lewandowski? And he was called back out by the crowd, chanting his name. He didn't get his goal. But he's another player, I mean, on a much bigger scale than the discussion about Cancelo. When he signed, you thought, oh, I get that they've signed him. But also his age, you're thinking, how is he going to be top level?
He must have been 33, wasn't he, when he came?
Yeah.
I was pleased when he came. I've always loved watching Lewandowski, and I was looking forward to the fact with what I do, I was going to see him play every week.
Yeah.
And he hasn't. There's been one or two moments where he's been criticised. Mainly always it goes back to the high salary that he was on. But he's Robert Lewandowski. He left Bayern Munich. He's going to be on a high salary. Someone else would have paid it. Barcelona was appealed to him like it does to a lot of players. And I think he's been incredible. He hasn't disappointed me at all. And I've not looked at a player who's 37. And maybe this season he's a little bit more static than he has been in the past. But I've not looked at him over the 4 years that he's been there and thought, God, they shouldn't have signed Lewandowski. Yeah, it was a great, for their situation, to get a world-class striker, even though he's 33, he's helped deliver three titles in 4 years, loads of goals, good influence on younger players as well. We should never underestimate that. And I think he's been absolute superstar.
Yeah, there is a real case for short-termism in football. I've come to the conclusion. Yeah, there is.
Yeah. 4 years is a stretch
in
terms of short-termism, but it did work. I mean, I was, when he first came, I don't know why, I was surprised at how good he was at finishing and scoring goals. Now I know he'd got bucket load of goals wherever he's been. But the first two or three years, he never missed a chance. And the movement was immaculate. The timing was perfect. And when you had a chance, when he got a chance, he just never missed. He's been astonishing.
His mental picture. That's what you. And I never had this. If ever I got a chance to score a goal, I panicked and smashed it as hard as I could. the mental picture for how you're going to score a goal that real top players have is incredible, isn't it? Luis Suarez was like it as well. Wasn't it? Where it obviously just came to them quickly. I'll do this, I'll do this, I'll do this, I'll score. Bang, bang, bang. And Lewandowski was a classic of that, wasn't it?
Confidence, arrogance.
Yeah. Sometimes I'll twist this way, I'll as if I'm going to go that way, but I'm not. I'm really going to drag it this way. But how did he think of that so quickly?
And he's a classic centre forward, Lewandowski, isn't he? Holds the play up, brilliant on attacking crosses, one on ones versus the goalkeeper, never missed. It was just an astonishing player.
Yeah. So there we are, Robert Lewandowski.
So they've got to replace him. So going back to the Rashford thing, they're going to need money for a centre forward because
Ferran
Torres has turned into one, but that can't be the only choice. So if they have only got a certain amount to spend, then don't spend it on Marcus Rashford.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You've got to put it towards the centre forward you're going to need.
Yeah. So haggle over Rashford is the advice. Yeah. Giving advice to Barcelona. There we are. I'm sure they're desperate for it from us. Right. So you don't know what you're doing this weekend, Terry. You presume you're going to go to Spain and commentate some football. But who do?
Saturday, yeah. Sunday, Friday, God knows.
Right. Well, we don't know who's going down. There are pages and pages of it.
We haven't been able to help you much today, have we? I'll be doing some work hopefully next week and we might find out who goes down.
Yes. Oh, hang on. Rails, we do know something. Racing Santander.
Yes.
Coming up.
Yeah.
So there we are. It'd be good. It could have an old name back, wouldn't it? Lucas would say, a day like this seemed improbable. He sent us a message to say, after all the turmoil of consecutive relegations, unpaid player wages and fan protests, and hopefully we'll have the same yo-yo brigade. Because Depor are close, aren't they? They're not yet there.
Yeah.
A couple of games to play.
30,000 at Depor's game at the weekend. I saw El Sardinero's, the atmosphere at the weekend. Via Libre scoring a goal, making a goal for Racing, some familiar names, fantastic atmosphere in the stadium. Yeah, welcome back, Racing. It's been too long.
Yeah, and one more message. This is Jack, and it follows on. We had a debate the other day in which we read out quite a lot of details about Barca's lack of spending in recent seasons and how well they've done. That was from Shay. And then Jack, Real Madrid fan, he points out the net spend might be low, but their wage bill is the third highest in Europe at almost half a billion euros, almost double that of Atletico. So their net spend has been low, but they do have huge financial advantages over other domestic rivals. Net spend's just one parameter of a club's financial muscle. And in this case, he would argue the total wage bill is more significant to take into account. I think that's to do with, because Barca's financial position has shifted so much that... They've still got financial power, but they've been forced into making decisions that they probably wouldn't have made because they have had these financial restrictions. I mean, their own fault or the previous regime's fault entirely. No one else did it to them. Well, you can argue about...
And COVID didn't help, and then the new stadium...
And you can argue whether
through that is
La Liga
an issue.
Gets it right with its financial restrictions.
Yep.
But the massive debt was Bartomeu and his regime.
Exactly.
They ran
and also, I think that they have clipped that down. That I look at Barcelona's wage bill now. I'm sure if you're playing for Barcelona, you're going to be on top money, like Real Madrid, like Man United, like other clubs around, Bayern Munich. They're all earning top money. Lewandowski's was a big wage. I think Frankie de Jong has been on a big wage. I can remember Pique leaving the club because he was on a big wage. So it's been higher. It's always been high. But I look around the squad now and I'm thinking, I'm sure Pedri's earning good money, but will he be Lewandowski's level? Probably not.
Oh, they overpaid players that they didn't need to pay top dollar to. That was that was the fundamental problem, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And as well as...
Blimey, had Messi. It was, no one's earning more money than Messi.
Well, he should be paid a lot of money, Messi, though, because he's better than everybody else.
I think they've worked hard on their wage bill. Yeah.
And how much did they pay for Coutinho? 140 million or something like that. It's all for another day, everybody. we'll be back.
They used to have Dembele play for them as well. He cost them a lot of money.
Yeah.
Ousmane Dembele. He was there.
Oh, yeah, I remember him, Terry. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
What happened to him?
Griezmann. Yeah. Griezmann had a little spell at Barcelona as well.
Right, so we'll be back to discuss the final round of games. We'll tell you who qualified for Europe. We'll tell you who got into the Conference League. We'll tell you who went down. And all of this we will know after one more set of games. And so we will see you after all of that lot. And thank you for watching and thank you for supporting us again this season.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
This year, experience the NHL playoffs your way. Want to watch a single? Do or die Game 7, a full week of heavy-hitting back-and-forth series. Then check out Sling's 1-3 and 7-day passes. Watch the chase for the cup on ESPN and TNT, starting as low as $4.99. No long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live hockey at home or when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.